Good afternoon, everyone. Bonjour à tous. Thank you for joining us for the media availability on today's Transit Commission meeting. Merci de vous joindre à nous pour le point de presse de la réunion de la Commission du Transport en commun. My name is Sébastien Tremblay and I will be your moderator. Je m'appelle Sébastien Tremblay et je serai l'animateur de cette séance. Before we begin, I'd like to go over a few items. Please note that this media availability is recorded. A copy will be provided to media outlets for broadcasting purposes. Veuillez noter que ce point de presse est enregistré pour les médias à des fins de diffusion. Spokespeople are kindly asked to turn on their video function when answering questions from the media. Nous demandons aux porte-paroles qui répondent aux questions de mettre la fonction vidéo en marche. And, as always, a reminder to place your microphone on mute until I invite you to ask your question. Veuillez garder votre micro désactivé jusqu'à ce que je vous invite à poser votre question. Available for questions from the media, we have. Disponible pour des questions des médias, nous accueillons. Alan Hubley, Chair of the Transit Commission, Président de la Commission du Transport en commun. John Manconi, General Manager, Transportation Services, Directeur Général des Transports. Troy Charter, Director of Transit Operations, Directeur des opérations du transport en commun. Pat Scrimger, Director of Transit Cluster Systems and Planning, Directeur Système Client et Planification. Jim Greer, Director Transit Operations, Directeur des opérations du transport en commun. Brandon Richards, Chief Safety Officer, Agent en chef de la sécurité. Isabel Jasmine, Deputy City Treasurer, Trésorier Municipal Adjoint. And Adnan Kokar, Chief Energy and Infrastructure Services Officer with Hydro Ottawa, dirigeant principal des services liés à l'énergie et à l'infrastructure avec Hydro Ottawa. I will now invite each agency in alphabetical order to participate. You may ask one question with one follow-up. Nous allons maintenant répondre aux questions des médias qui pourront poser une question et une question de suivi. We'll now start with Kate Porter at CBC Ottawa.
Hi, everybody. First question to Chair Hubley. Just if you could lay out for people, you know, because the last they would have heard was a four bus pilot project. And then, you know, suddenly this idea of a loan and a $1 billion spent on 450 buses. Maybe just lay out the significance of what's happening here or, you know, what it means for the city and the fleet.
Sure. And maybe Mr. Manconi may want to add to what I say, but the pilot, the initial few buses, that pilot will still be taking place this year as planned and announced. What you heard about today is what's going to happen starting next year in the budget process when we start to add more electric buses to the fleet. The way the contract is structured, we have check-in points every year. So if information comes out through that pilot or whatever that impacts those decisions, we have time to adjust with them and so on. But what I guess to boil it down, Kate, for you is you're now seeing us go from middle of the pack on conversion to e-bus to being one of the leaders in the country now in the plan to convert to e-bus.
Did Mr. Manconi want to add? I'm not sure.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, no, Kate, I would just add that, exactly what the Chair has said, and we're doing that. The shift is that we're leveraging technology that's proven. That's the 40-foot long-range electric buses. We're leveraging a financing opportunity, and we're leveraging great partnerships with Hydro Ottawa, Canada Infrastructure Bank, and Infrastructure Canada. And so, opportunities when they present themselves and they're well thought out, and the risks are understood and mitigated, it's a great opportunity to move forward from an environmental lens, from an economic lens, and we keep the city whole in terms of its priorities that council has set forward. So it's about leveraging those great three opportunities.
My second question, I'm just thinking, and I know you were asked a bit about it at commission, just how, you know, a couple of years ago, you didn't even want to pursue a pilot project. Could you just describe, you know, what's changed in these couple of years that now, you know, you want to pursue such a big deal, and what outstanding risks you still worry about?
Is that directed to me or to John?
Oh, sorry, to John. Thanks.
So, no, thanks again, Kate, because I think there was this portraying of I was opposed to electrification. I was never opposed to electrification of buses or zero emission buses. What I was clearly saying is unless there is a funding source for the premiums associated with electric buses, you know, they're over $1 million for these 40-foot buses. And unless there's a funding source for the transition costs, the city wasn't going to be able to move forward in any meaningful way, and nor are other jurisdictions. They're doing incremental versus large-scale opportunities. What I always did say was we had a great, robust, long-range financial plan and a great fleet plan, thanks to people like, you know, Jim Greer, who's our director of fleet maintenance, who has brought that robustness to it. We knew there was an opportunity for large-scale purchasing opportunities. And we're seen as a good, sophisticated client to the market. And we were able to harness the great relationship with CIB and Infrastructure Canada. So this has always been about how do you fund it and how do you fund the transition and the premiums. And again, I will give full marks to CIB. They did a study and they were the first to move away from simply just talking about the savings, but explaining how the savings could be leveraged into a loan program that would be attractive to cities such as Ottawa and many others. So that's what's changed significantly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now go to Peter Sperling with CTV Ottawa.
Hi, Mr. Manconi. Thanks so much for taking my question. Can you tell us a little bit about a little bit more about Ottawa becoming the first city in Canada to go all electric? Just maybe tell us again, what are the risks? And you mentioned it's not as easy as just flipping a switch. There's a transition involved, right?
Certainly, in terms of the scope and scale, just the 74 buses in 1 year, that's probably the largest purchase out there. And committing to 450 and eventually the entire fleet is significant. But it's significant in that the 450 buses that we talked about is all in is a $1 billion deal. That's that if everything comes together, will be funded, and council has the ability to execute on those years every year, as the chair has talked about. The risks that we talked about in the report is are the savings achieved, and that's covered off by loan agreements in terms of things like that. The risks that would have been prevalent if we did not have great partners such as Hydro Ottawa. And that deals with the having the engineering and the robustness of the staff, such that Adnan, who's here on the call today, that can bring the expertise into how to manage and install and do long-term maintenance on the infrastructure. And then there's things such as the federal stacking rules on grant funding, which at the staff level, they've worked their way through it, and it's conditional on that. So again, in both in our presentation and our report, we did a very thorough job of outlining the risks and how we propose to mitigate them. And we're a conservative team. We do not want to put the city at risk financially or any other way. So hence the reason we're before them with a very extensive report that talks about those risks and how they're going to mitigate. The transition is technical in nature, but it's a pleasant transition because we know we're going to be contributing to council's agenda and to the environmental impact and to being leaders in the field, which we're very, very proud of.
Awesome. Now we heard that the first step will be these 40-foot buses. They're long-range buses running less busy routes. As you know, Ottawa is a large city geographically. At what point will we see buses that can handle that sort of range? Do they exist now? And if are we confident that technology will exist in a couple of years if it doesn't already?
Yes, and just to clarify, they will be on busy routes. It's about their long-range bus battery lives in between charging. So they'll be on very busy routes. What we don't want to do is obviously run out of battery power in the middle of a route. So we'll be selective on what we're doing. And you heard Pat describe them. They'll be mainly local routes. and technology is growing exponentially. We all know how technology evolves. Just think of your iPhones and the evolution of those. It's exponential. It's not just linear. And so the industry is robust, and both from Canada's investments and the U.S. investments, there's lots of growth in this space and lots of smart, brilliant minds in the private sector figuring out the long-range battery lives. And then if you need to, you can get into interim charging at transit station or transfer stations in the future.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now go to Craig Lord at Global Ottawa.
Thank you. I had a quick question about LRT before we go electric again. I had a question about the train spotters actually on platforms at LRT stations, the ones who blow the whistles before the platform is clear. Is there any update on their status? I think the last word we had heard about them a while ago was that there was a camera feed problem on some of the trains that was needed a redundancy on the platforms to make sure they were clear. But I haven't heard anything about that in the rectification plan. Is there any update on the status of those camera feeds or the status of those train spotters long term?
Mr. Chardo will respond to that.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the platform spotters, they are a temporary mitigation that's been put in place, and they've been there, as you know, since launch. There's a specific limited number of situations where the cameras didn't populate as quickly as they should have. And so that's why the spotter's in place. There's a series of software updates that need to happen, and they need to be validated and confirmed prior to being put into revenue service operation. So they're going through those steps, and they have to demonstrate that the full camera functionality. So we are currently going through that process with them right now. They have done a series of updates, and we're just validating that the full functionality is there. But the cameras do function. It's just a specific limited number of occurrences in which they're not. And we said at the time that, they needed to have that extra mitigation there in place until such time as they can demonstrate that full functionality. So I don't have a timeline for it right now, but we are going through that validation process.
Thank you. And jumping back over to the buses then, why the long range versus short range? I think that we heard from Pat that, you know, cities like Montreal and Vancouver are going with short range. What are the nature of Ottawa's transit system that makes long range the better choice than the cities that are piloting short range right now?
I think you just answered your question, Craig. They're piloting, and we want to move away from. There's enough pilots out there to answer the obvious. Long range is the way to go if you can go. It's about adding an infrastructure. Those are very expensive. It looks simple on paper, but putting a charging unit, it's not like a plug-in. It's an overhead catenary system. So it's infrastructure to install. You have to feed it. You have to make sure there's a redundancy on power of feed. You have to make sure there's ample power to it. So less infrastructure is better. And again, we've got a great team in Hydro Ottawa on the garage charging. Edmonton is a good model to look at. They're doing in-garage charging. They're going with long-range vehicles. And that's not to say that in other areas that's not the way to go. We want to use that as a last resort. And we may need to go there if some of the technology on double-deckers and articulated buses doesn't evolve as quickly as it needs to.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now go to John Willing at the Ottawa Citizen.
Thank you very much, Seb. Mr. Manconi, you know, there's always talk about a federal election, one now speculated for the fall. Do these federal negotiations regarding the zero emission buses, are they at risk of falling victim to an election call?
I can never guarantee anything on an election call. I can tell you where we are right now that, we have documentation in place that we're saying we're working with these partners. We want to get things signed off as per the schedule in there. I can't control any elections or changes in government policy. But as I said at commission, if things come apart, we would report to the Transit Commission on the pieces of the puzzle not coming together. We need all those financial inputs. Otherwise, this deal does not work.
Thanks, John. We talked a little bit today at the commission about when the Federal Public Service is going to come back to their offices. And I know And you and Mr. Kanellakis are talking with Treasury Board. Do you think you'll ever get a good idea this year about how many of federal workers will come back to their offices? Do you think that you're just going to have to go by department in the federal government? I mean, are you confident you'll ever get a really good answer even this year?
I think so, John. We have a good, Mr. Kanellakis has a great relationship with the senior bureaucrats there. We're looking for exactly that or the best available estimates. I'd be happy with percentages, but I have to say this, you know, it is a big complex organization with a lot of buildings and a lot of locations. You know, it may look easy, but I give them full marks for they're doing a wholesome review. It is complicated. We're clear. We're there to transport them. We're there to assist them any way they can on back to work. But I have to respect them as an organization that, you know, they have to do their thing in terms of assessing it. They are taking a global and a department look at it, as are all employers. And it's a complicated space. So I'm respectful of that. I'm hoping for a return of some of the workforce. And not just for transit, but for the whole economic engine of the city, irregardless of where you are.
Thanks, John.
And thank you, everyone, for your time today. Merci à tous pour votre temps aujourd'hui. That's going to wrap it for today. Have a nice Wednesday, everyone.